an important one for building a just and equitable future for everyone here in the city of Portland. To build that future, we must look to where reform needs to happen. In doing this, we must also acknowledge an uncomfortable past that systematically disadvantaged Black, Indigenous, and Brown people, along with many of our other marginalized community members. Much of the focus and attention has been placed with our Portland Police Bureau, a bureau that has prioritized de-escalation tactics, adjusted their use of force policies, and inserted community accountability in their practices for the last several years. Yet, all of us acknowledge that that's not enough. And while I'm very proud of our Bureau for being willing to adapt, evolve, and embrace reform, I know that we must take actions that reimagine what community safety can be like in our city and boldly face the questions being asked of us by our community. This is the time for us to lean in to change and innovation in the pursuit of true justice in our community. So today, Portland Police Bureau Chief Jamie Rush and I have an important announcement, and the chief felt it was important that you hear it from her directly, and I agree. So without further ado, Chief Jamie Rush.
Good morning. Over the last 10 days, I've watched our city, I've listened, and I hear you. We have asked our community, I have asked our community time and time again, what do we need to do? And each time we hear them say, show us change. And the Portland Police Bureau has made change. We've made policy changes. We've made changes to our discipline guide. We send our officers to procedural justice and implicit bias training. We meet with community one-on-one, and we meet with community in small groups. But in the words of Tony Hobson, and Mr. Hobson, I'm going to use your words, those are changes, but they are not the change. What PPB has not done publicly is stand up and say we will be the start of the change and take a step towards that change. Yesterday, I called Mayor Wheeler, and I asked him to support me and to support the Portland Police Bureau in being the beginning of the change that this city needs. I believe this change starts with trust, and it absolutely must come from the heart. I have asked Chuck Lavelle to step into the role as the chief of the Portland Police Bureau. And for those of you that know Chuck, I don't need to explain to you why he is the exact right person at the exact right moment. But for those of you that don't, I will try to sum him up. And for a person of that caliber, it's pretty impossible. So Chuck is the most compassionate, honest, humble, genuine to the core person. In fact, last week we were talking and he was telling me how from a young age his parents instilled a sense of service in him and how his entire career has been in service. And yesterday when I was talking to him and explaining to him why I was making this decision and why I felt he was the right person for this decision, he made a very important statement. He said, I've never wanted to be in the role of a leader. And I said, that's exactly why you are the right person. You never wanted it, you were meant for it. I will not be leaving the Portland Police Bureau. You're not getting rid of me that easy. My position and the logistics of it will be figured out in the next couple days, and that's not important. What's important is we focus on standing beside Chief Lavelle and our Portland Police Bureau and our community as we move towards beginning to be the change. As I mentioned earlier, I believe this change needs to start with trust, and it needs to come from the heart. So I'm asking the members of the Portland Police Bureau, please trust me. This is the right thing to do. And I'm asking the community to please trust that this comes from my heart. Thank you.
Chief Rush, thank you for your leadership. and the standard that you uphold and the values that I know do come from your heart. I know you've done everything you can to support our peaceful demonstrators while balancing the need for public safety, and I am very grateful to you. Chief Resch has been with the Portland Police Bureau for 20 years, and I want the public to know she has my complete confidence, and she will continue to have my complete confidence in her new role. She's respected, she's committed to the safety of the public, and she's committed to the values that we all share in this community. And she is, without any question, committed to the Bureau. And she is committed to doing the right thing for our community. And when Chief Resch told me that she believed our community needed new voices to lead the conversation around community safety, I agreed. We need her continued leadership in the Portland Police Bureau, and we need Chief Lavelle's leadership. Together, we're going to work on meaningful and bold reforms within the Portland Police Bureau. Let me be clear, the need for bold reforms is not new. I know that we must interrupt the system both internally and externally to reimagine what public safety in our community can be like. I additionally know that we've missed talent in promotions and in our succession planning, which is why Chief Lavelle has been hired. I am 100% confident that he is the right person for this job. I decided to move thoughtfully in supporting the Chief's decision and in hiring someone who has the experience, the community, the connections, and the community trust to help move us all forward, while knowing that the issues we have are not the Chief's alone to fix. Community safety is my responsibility, and frankly, it's everyone's responsibility. And for many watching this today, this is nothing new, but I want to make sure I'm clearly acknowledging our intentional actions moving forward. A long-awaited shift is happening in our city and around the country, and it's my privilege to work with all of our elected leaders and community leaders and with ordinary folks in the community to put in motion reforms that will serve, that will heal, and provide the safety and the kind of safety that our community has asked us for. Many Portlanders walked through the weekend peacefully uniting around a message calling for us to live up to our highest aspirations, shining a light on the possibility of reforms for the benefit of all of our residents. Yet, I don't want this point to be missed either. We must dive deeper into what those marching for justice and peace are pointing out, that the policies we have must truly serve all of us, that this is a challenge that we must rise to. This movement is about both historic and current police violence, which is real and which has traumatized Black communities all across our country. It's about the criminal justice system that imprisoned an entire generation of young Black men for nonviolent and innocuous offenses, disrupting families and altering life outcomes. It's about our education system, which has not lived up to the promise of community education in preparing our city, our state, and our nation for the future leadership that it so desperately needs. We hear you. We're listening. And we will continue to listen deeply and intently, heeding your advice and to act with a sense of urgency. Together, we've already removed police officers from Portland's public schools and redirected funding towards community-centered investments, helping to connect our Black youth and to further examine and reimagine our safety strategies here in the city of Portland. Each of these reforms directly fulfills requests from the community in Portland, centering the voices and experiences of our Black Portlanders. People have also expressed serious concerns about using CS gas to manage crowds especially when we're battling the COVID pandemic. Over the weekend, I directed the Portland Police Bureau to limit the use of CS gas to situations where there is an immediate threat to life and safety. My priority is protecting the lives of demonstrators, first responders, and the people who are in custody at the Justice Center. We're going to continue to monitor protest activity and, when necessary, adjust and evolve our responses to provide effective, respectful public safety services. With the murder of George Floyd and the many others that were lost prior, including locally, we must reimagine, reform, and rebuild what public safety looks like, and we must go through this process together. I want Portlanders to know I share your concerns and will move forth with the urgency that you expect. Tomorrow, I will be sharing a larger list of specific reforms that I will be implementing and pursuing. The list includes financial, policy, and legislative items, a combination of actions that I will take as mayor and will take in partnership with other elected leaders. I will fervently support needed reforms the community is demanding in the near term, and I'll be honest and transparent with you about potential trade-offs. Because another one of my values is this: if we're going to do something, let's not just do it so that we can say we did, let's do it right. Thank you. And with that, we're going to hear from our new police chief, Chief Chuck Lavelle. Welcome, Chuck. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. To say this was unexpected would be an understatement. I told Chief Resch over the last few weeks that I would do everything in my power to help her through these challenging times, and that I'd be at her disposal to help lift her up and help her be successful. As we spent a lot of time cultivating community partnerships, relationships, having conversations, talking about the future, she asked me, she said, when you're in this position, the only thing that matters is doing what's right for the Bureau, doing what's right for the community. And that just kind of gives you a sense of what a selfless, caring leader she is. I don't know if I've worked directly for anyone who cares more about the people in our organization or the people in the community. So I want to thank her again. This is going to be hard. I don't have any illusions about that. But meeting every day at Revolutionary Square and marching into downtown Portland, standing up against injustice, that's hard too. What Pastor Mondanay and fellow faith leaders did last night, standing at the fence in a symbol of peace, that's difficult also. It takes courage. With the community members on the inside of the fence, the ones wearing patches that say police and sheriffs, what they do every night, believe me, that is difficult as well. It takes courage and it has a toll. We have to remember, when they don't have those uniforms on, they're our community members. They're sitting next to us in church. They're dropping their kids off at the same schools our kids go to. They're behind us in the line at the grocery store. And we can never lose sight of the fact that there are way more good police officers than there are bad ones. I've spent a lot of time working in inner Northeast Portland throughout my career, Jefferson High School, and then back to Northeast Precinct. And I've spent a lot of time with community, listening, going to meetings, talking, just really trying to build relationships and have connection. And one of the things that's always stuck with me is I've always heard kind of a feelings conversation, especially from the Black community. It was something always to the effect of, we don't feel like you love us. We don't feel like you treat us the same. And in our police world, the language we speak is really, you know, drenched in policy and things of that nature. It's stuff like, you know, there's an ongoing investigation, we can't tell you anything, or we have data and stats that tell this story. And I always felt like we left there missing each other. The community left feeling unheard, and we left wondering why. I wonder why they weren't able to see things our way. I think one of the most important things we can do as an organization is to find a way to convey to the community our heart. Let them know that we are here to serve you. We took an oath to serve and protect you. We love you. We fall down sometimes. We need to learn how to get better together. We need to stand by each other in that journey. When I watched the video of what happened to Mr. Floyd, I remember the big takeaway I had. I mean, as I watched the agonizing minutes tick by, it wasn't the tactics, it wasn't the number of officers there. It was really the lack of care and compassion. And that's what stuck with me. And the thought that that's an idea that could exist, that almost felt like you're not important. And to me, the fight is not with each other. The fight for all of us is against that idea that people, institutions, agencies, you name it, can harbor that feeling in our hearts, and it has bad outcomes for people. So that is the true enemy. That's what we should all be united fighting against. I am so honored and humbled that so many people came out when it was somewhat short notice and there were some logistic issues and we're in a pandemic to show support. Folks here who have dedicated their lives and done so much to help youth of color in inner Northeast Portland, Donald Dixon, Jefferson High School, Tony Hobson and Libra Ford, SCI, Self Enhancement Inc., Joe McFerrin, POIC, Rosemary Anderson High School, thank you. Legends in the community, icons, Ron Herndon, Marta Guembes, Antoinette Edwards. Friends and colleagues, people I've worked with, dreamed with, tried to do things to make the community better with. Dwight Holton, former U.S. attorney, currently CEO of Lines for Life. Nike and Herman Green, fixtures in the North Portland community. And great command staff that I have with me have come out to support me. It means a lot. We have a lot of work to do, and we're gonna get busy doing that work. But I don't want to have too many words. I just wanted to share some things that were on my heart. Let you know I'm humbled. I'm a public servant. I'm going to show up every day with a servant's heart. I'm going to give the best service I can. I'm going to listen. I'm going to care about the community, and I'm going to care about the people in the organization. And all I can do is be me. And I'm looking forward to this journey. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Lavelle. Right now, there are a lot of community leaders in the house here, and I would like to leave this space open and available if anybody would like to come up here and speak on Chief Lavelle's behalf. Anybody like to say a word or two, or 5 or 10 or 15 about this man? Thank you, Antoinette Edwards.
This is historic. As I was talking with dear Andy Shearer, he said, this is historic. And if people are watching Portland, something's happening today. And I'm so grateful for my brothers and sisters that are here to be a witness to that, and your support for Chuck. I've known him forever. That's what you say when you're old. And I'm excited for this moment. When he called me last night, I've got excited, and I said, you're worthy, and we can do this. And my only message is, he needs all of us, and we're here for him. I'm here for you. And Portland, let's show our best effort. I just left the wall of hurt and pain with George on it, and the caring, the outpouring from the Portlanders. to fill us, to be with us. This is a great beginning, and let's support each other. We need the blue, we need the everyone. Thank you. Love you, Chuck.
Anybody else want to take the microphone before we move on to questions for the speakers here today? Okay.
Ronnie Herndon, Albina Head Start, longtime resident of Portland. I met Chuck in his role as a caring a person who's very, very concerned about children and families. We had some unfortunate incidents at my work involving parents who did not have authority to be around their children, and we needed help in addressing that. The person that I called was Chuck. I tried to reach out to others, they weren't available, but Chuck immediately stepped in and helped us to maintain a safe environment for children and families. So for me, that sums up the person. He didn't have to do it. He very easily could have said, I'm going to refer you to Joe Splivengates down on the corner who's supposed to be patrolling that area. He didn't do it. He stepped in himself. He made the calls, and people responded quickly. So that's my view of the new chief, is a person who not only cares, but he acts. And he wasn't acting for the children of some large corporation. He was acting for some of the children that this city and this country pay very little attention to, and whose families get very, very little attention either. So for him to care, I think it's somewhere in the scripture, what you've done to the least of mine, you've done to me. For him to care about the least was very, very striking to me, and he did it repeatedly. So Chuck, it's an honor to know you. I am very proud that you're in this position, and I know there are going to be some stormy days, but we'll be right there with you. Thank you.
Tony Hobson, President and CEO of Self Enhancement, Inc. Briefly, I would just say there's two parts of this, and we have an outgoing chief that did something that is just unprecedented. I mean, in these days and times, to have a chief decide, based on looking at the circumstances and what she felt was in the best interest of her police force and the community, to step aside, is virtually unheard of, y'all. I mean, I just don't want that moment to go by, because somebody had to make that decision. This wasn't the mayor's decision, this was her decision, after looking at all that was going on within our community. That is a special person, to be that selfless, to have that kind of courage in the moment like this, and feel like it's in the best interest of our community to step aside. That's number one. Number two, when you step aside, you have to have somebody to pass the baton to, somebody that was already ready, somebody that was already connected to a community that can make that difference. So to our outgoing chief, much love and respect, and to the incoming chief, much love and respect.
Good afternoon. My name is Donald Dixon, and I'm a counselor at Jefferson High School. I'm in my 41st year, and I'm retiring. And I get a chance to, this semester is pretty difficult because I'm going out at the end of a senior's career, with them not having the regular graduation and all the type of send-offs that they normally have. So it's kind of difficult for me at this time to see them go that way, because this is my last class, my 41st class. So But I wanted to mention, and I want to echo also what Tony said, what our outgoing chief, that's incredible. I mean, for that kind of person to do that. And then also to recognize the person that she wanted to pass the baton to, and that's Chuck. I met Chuck because he was our SRO at Jefferson High School. And Chuck, to me, exhibits what I grew up dealing with as far as the police is concerned in the community, knowing who the police was, having a relationship with them, and that everyone knew when they came around they weren't in fear of the person, but they welcomed the person because we knew who they were, what they were all about, and that they had our best interests at heart. And Chuck exhibited that as soon as he came into Jefferson High School with the kids. The kids were very comfortable with him, and they know they could go to him and let him know what was going on. He could be abreast of everything that was happening, the heartbeat of the school, the heartbeat of the community, and what was going on. And so we had that kind of relationship. He also was there when I started the Boys to Men program, and he became a mentor. He immediately drew the attention of other police officers to come and be mentors in the Boys to Men program, to be able to sit down with boys and talk to them about growing up from a boy to a man, but not also to be a police officer, because African-American males have a certain perspective about police officers that Chuck immediately was able to dispel, and for them to be able to be very comfortable. He also was very instrumental in me being able to have a citywide conference with the police department, where we had 175, almost 200 police officers to sit down with 100 black men and 100 black boys in order for us to be able to develop the kind of relationships that we need to have in the community. And once again, that's because of Chuck being a part of that vision and being the person that he is. So I'm not shocked or surprised. You know, we was always saying that one day you'll probably be doing this. We thought it was way off because he's pretty young. But now is the time. We can never really deal with anything else except for the time. And those of you who saw Sharpton when he did his memorial, he talked about in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything. And right now, it's the time. And so we support Chuck. We love Chuck. You know, he called me late last night, and he was hoping that I would be awake and I would answer the call. And it was more than a privilege for me to be here today to support him, acknowledge him, and I hope that the whole city and everyone gets behind him, the department as well as the community. Thank you, Chuck, and congratulations.
Good afternoon. Joe McFerrin, President and CEO with Portland OIC and the Rosemary Anderson High School. I'll keep my comments very brief, but as an organization that for over 50 years have worked with predominantly African-American folks in the community that have had contact, high levels of contact with law enforcement, I'm truly excited about the decision here today. And I feel extremely hopeful for the families that we all of us are working with as we help them transition through this pandemic. I think times are going to be tougher before they get better, but I think that with the chief and his leadership and what we've all heard today, I feel really good moving forward as we help our community heal. Thank you.
Muy buenas tardes. My name is Marta Wembes, and I am the honorary consul from Guatemala. Comunidad Latina, tenemos un nuevo jefe de policía. Bienvenido, jefe, y muchas gracias a la jefa de policía que teníamos. So we have a new chief, and thank you, chief, for the work that you have done. Thank you so much for embracing our community and all communities. Thank you.
My name is Herman Green. I'm a community guy. I pastor a church in North Portland. But I've just been doing a lot of work in the community, prison ministry, and all that kind of stuff. And in everything that I've done, I heard it said earlier that Jamie loves the Bureau and she loves the community. But whenever I think about Chuck, it seems to flip that. Chuck loves this community, and he also loves the Bureau. He always puts the community and what the community needs, like, in front. He's always asking, how are we going to better the community? How can we support the community? How can we give the community what it needs? And right now, today, I'm hopeful because today the community got what it needed. We didn't have to look outside to find somebody to come and help us because everything that we need is already in our community. And by putting you in the front, it was a stamp on it that says we got what we need to make the changes that we need to make our community better. We don't have to go somewhere else and get it. It's right here. So I'm excited to have Chuck here. I'm grateful for you to be the chief. And I know that now that you're here and doing the work that you have always been called to do, and with the supports that you've got around you, we're about to see some things happen. The tipping point that the mayor was talking point, this is that point. This is that space where it's no longer going to be going back the way it used to be. It's no longer going to be business as usual. We can't go back to the way that we did it. And from this point forward, this is how it's going to be. And I'm asking everybody that I know, if you know me, you know I love the community. You know I speak my truth. You know I don't care nothing about politics and none of that other stuff. I love people, and that's it. And I love this guy because he has that heart. He cares about people. He don't care about the politics. He don't care about none of that stuff. He cares about doing what's right for the people that he's called to serve. And I'm grateful to be serving alongside you, my guy. Thank you.
Good morning, Libra Ford, Chief Operating Officer at Self Enhancement, Inc. Three things I want to say. First and foremost, congratulations. You should absolutely take a pause and receive this completely. The second thing I want to say is that this is an amazing room of people who will absolutely surround him. But this room is extended outside these doors. Everyone has to surround this man. And everything that he is will only be risen by everything we can do with him. And the last thing I want to say, which is what Mr. Hobson was really touching upon, is this is a huge move. And I think we need to think about this word that we throw around a lot, equity. This is what equity looks like. When you move out the way and give room for people who look like Chuck Lavelle, Chief Chuck Lavelle, when the time is right and the time is needed, that is what equity is. So let's not just use the word, let's do more actions around it that look like this. And for all those that don't know what it looks like, this is a great example of what it is.
All right, we want to thank everybody who spoke on Chief Lavelle's behalf. We're now going to bring the chief up here. Any reporters in the house, we're going to open the floor for questions, and we ask that you take the microphone in the back there, and we'll start with questions for Chief Lavelle.
Welcome, Chief Lavelle. Kebu here. You talked about a culture of care. Over the last 10 days, Portland police have harassed and attacked media in the protests, including a reporter shouting media repeatedly while the video shows officers saying, "I don't care if you're media," and pepper spraying him in the camera and face. And I wonder what steps you're taking to ensure that freedom of the press is respected by peace officers, and whether you will ban tear gas, the LRAD, and the flashbang grenades as recommended by the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing last night.
That's a long question, and I'm literally 10 minutes in, so I didn't see any of the video or anything from last night. The last 20-ish hours for me have just been a whirlwind, like you couldn't believe. We have systems of accountability. Our officers are well-trained. they're out there doing their best to keep the peace. I'm sure we'll look at whatever video or whatever there is to look at, and we'll make some determinations. I want to be clear. We want to give great service. We want to do the best job that we can. But I also want to protect officers and give them the tools they need to do the job that we ask them to do. And I think that that's the only fair way to lead them. So, I mean, we'll look at that, and we'll still do what we need to do as law enforcement leaders to protect the public, to protect life and property. And we'll look at it.
Hi, my name is Rebecca. I'm a reporter with OPB. I'm curious, with you as the new chief, is anything going to change in how PPB handles protests tonight and moving forward?
I think in very general terms, change is coming. I think this is kind of a real precipice for law enforcement all over the country, in the city. And we're going to really look hard at what changes need to be made, what changes make sense. Change for the sake of change doesn't always have the best outcomes for people. So although we're at a point now where there are going to be changes, and we have to accept that, we really need to be mindful of what those changes are, what they look like, how they're implemented, what other pieces of the justice system they affect, and really think hard about what the outcomes for folks will be.
I'm curious, specifically within policing the protests, though, do you have any changes in mind for that? Or are you speaking more generally within the
Bureau? Speaking more generally. I mean, we have constant conversations about, you know, the events that take place currently during protests. But I mean, in very general terms, we need to really start thinking about the changes we're making and what effects they're going to have. Thank you.
Okay, next we'll open the floor to four questions to or of Mayor Wheeler. We'll bring him up here. And I do have a couple questions from the media that have been emailed to me that I will read out for him as well.
Hi, Mayor Wheeler. KBU here.
Morning.
At last night's packed virtual meeting of the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, the committee voted based on overwhelming community support to recommend that Portland City Council ban police use of tear gas, CS gas, LRAD, and flashbangs, and that Portland defund the police and fund the community. Will you carry out those recommendations, and will you follow Chief Resch's example and resign?
All of the reforms that were voted on by the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing last night are on the table. Some of them have already been enacted. I have already directed that the LRAD will not be used except for communications. I've been very clear in my views with regard to CS gas. We will eliminate CS gas provided that there are alternatives that do not require a higher use of force and do not put lives in danger. And so that is an open conversation, and it's one that the council is actively engaged in. There are other reforms that cross the spectrum that have been put forth by the community, some that I'll be putting forth myself tomorrow, others that I can enact either through executive direction, some that require bargaining, some that require legislative changes. And right now, everything is on the table. My job, including last night, I was on that forum. I spoke very briefly, but I wanted to center communities of color, particularly the Black community, in that conversation. But I did listen. I took my notes, and we will respond to all of those things. I appreciate you asking the question, will I resign? And the answer is this. I love being the mayor of this city. It's a privilege. Every day that I have the opportunity to serve is another opportunity to improve the community in which we live. I was elected 4 years ago, nearly 4 years ago, overwhelmingly, to serve in a leadership capacity in this city, no matter what. And none of us could have anticipated the COVID crisis. We're now in a larger society-based conversation around policing and justice, and I believe that I can lead us through the changes that are required. But let's also be honest, all of us who hold leadership positions, all of us, not just in elective office, but everyone in this community, this is a time of transformational change. And it's going to require all of us to be introspective and think about when it is appropriate for us to step forward and when it will be appropriate for us to step back. In some cases, I have offered reforms. In other cases, I think I can best serve the community by stepping back and listening and accepting the community's will when it comes to specific reforms. So my view is that I am open-minded, that I'm prepared to lead, that I lead with confidence and conviction and values, and I love being the mayor.
Hi, Mayor Wheeler.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm curious, who in the community did you check in with before making the switch?
I actually had the opportunity to speak with a number of people in the community specifically. I spoke to some of my colleagues. I spoke to others in law enforcement. I spoke to some community leaders. I also relied heavily on what I was hearing from Chuck and his network, and Jamie and her network, and some other individuals on my staff and their networks. For obvious reasons, we did not want to cast too broad a net because this was sensitive information, and I needed confirmation this morning that Chuck was still all in before we made the announcement.
I'm curious how many hours was the time span between when Chief Resch decided she wanted to step down?
I don't remember the exact moment, what time of day it was, but approximately, I believe, Chief, it was midday. Is that accurate when you first approached me?
Yes.
So approximately midday yesterday.
Last question. I'm curious, have you given any thought to assigning the police bureau to a different commissioner, or has anyone suggested it to you?
So that has not been specifically suggested at this point. As you know, the mayor has the ability to assign and reassign police bureaus. We'll be having new commissioners onboarding in the near future, and one should expect that all bureaus are up for consideration. And the way I make those determinations are, number one, based on interest. Number two, based on the ability to be a successful leader of the bureau. And number three, I think about how to cluster the bureaus in a manner that makes sense. Under our form of government, things can get fragmented pretty quickly. I intentionally assigned two public safety bureaus to Commissioner Hardesty when she joined us. Mm-hmm. I maintained the police bureau, but I picked Commissioner Hardesty for fire and emergency management because I knew that I could work effectively with her and have all the public safety bureaus working in coordination. And we see that playing out both in terms of the budget, the unified budget that we've put forward around public safety, as well as around the street response pilot that we've been engaged in partnership.
Okay, I have just a couple of questions, and I think we'll wrap it up after this, but this is from media members out there who were just talking about the last couple of nights of the protests, and a lot of them, hopefully we'll cover them all with one answer here, because a lot of the inquiries are similar, but it's about the videos. There have been videos shared over social media of police officers around the country hitting and shoving protesters. What explanation do the mayor and or police chief have for the public regarding the images and videos that they've seen in recent days of Portland officers using similar force against civilians during local downtown demonstrations, and what's being done to prevent future incidents?
Well, that's a big question. And the answer is this. First of all, when people submit to us or through the ombudsman or through the auditor's office or the citizen review committee or any of the other ways that people can that people can put forward complaints, they are investigated. We have an obligation to investigate each and one every one of those situations. I would caution people that when you see something on YouTube or you see something, a video on Twitter, it's not necessarily in context, so it's important to get the facts straight and have clarity in terms of what happened. But the police bureau must seek to de-escalate. This police bureau must be restrained in its use of force. There are a number of reforms that I already put on the table. Portland is now one of a small handful of cities that has restricted the use of CS gas. That was at my direction, only in the case of life and safety. I already restricted the use of LRAD, particularly in the tone warning function. We are not using that. And there'll be other use of force changes that I'm sure we'll be discussing and implementing in the days and the weeks ahead.
Any other questions for Mayor Wheeler? Okay, one more, and then we're done.
Yeah, the
If I could just add to that answer, and again, in each and every one of these cases, while I am certainly on the side of reform and improvement, I also want to make sure that as we engage with meaningful reforms, we do it right.
As far as de-escalation, there is video of someone, a Portland police officer, putting his knee in someone's neck while the person is saying, "I can't breathe." That was yesterday. Will you, in the interest of de-escalation, remove the fencing since it has become a point of tension in order to de-escalate the situation? And what are the criteria for an unlawful assembly? Who makes that determination? Is it you as the police commissioner? And how do you match that with First Amendment right to protest?
I'll answer your three questions in reverse order. Number one, I don't make that determination. The incident commander is flanked by legal counsel who make sure that every decision that is made comports with the Constitution, state law, and agency policy. Number two, the question around a video that is circulating, if that video is provided, that incident will be investigated. And what was the one in the middle? The fence. So the fence has become a flashpoint. It's not about the damn fence. The concern that officers have is for the people who are living in the Justice Center. And last week, we had people break through the doors of the Justice Center and light it on fire while people were living in it. It's the people that is the concern. Now, it may be that we could remove the flashpoint by moving the people out of the Justice Center. Then it would just be another building, like any other building in Portland. But that is not a call I can make, and that is not a call the city of Portland can make. That is a county-run facility. And if they so choose and have the ability to do so, they could remove those individuals from the facility. But I want to be clear, it's not about the fence. We don't care about the fence. It's about protecting the lives of the people who live in the justice facility, who we have a legal and moral obligation to protect while they are in custody. I do not have that authority. That is a county facility. They're in the custody of Multnomah County. That is not a city of Portland facility. We're on the other side. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
We have one more question here, and then we're going to wrap things up, and this is for Chief Lavelle, and I'll read it right here before he gets up here. The question is, can Chief Lavelle talk more about the phone call he received from Chief Resch yesterday? Also, specifically, how does he feel about the Portland Police Bureau, or rather, how does he feel the Portland Police Bureau can do a better job of bridging divides between the community and officers, both short-term and long-term?
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. Chief Resch and I spoke yesterday in her office, and The conversation was a surprise to me. She said that she's been watching me over, you know, the course of time and my interactions with the community, my relationships, and just some of the connection that I had with folks in the community. And she felt like now was the right time for her to step back and for me to step forward. And it was a shock for me, I'll be honest. But when your boss comes to you and she says the community needs you, you know, the police bureau needs you, to me I felt like it's not the time to shrink and back down. Leadership's necessary right now. There's a lot of hurt people, there's a lot of healing that we need to start moving towards. And I felt like if I, in some small way, could be the start of the community starting to feel some of that healing, that it was my duty to do that. And for the second part of Everett's question, you know, I think that we've had some things here in Portland that worked well. I remember when I first started, we had, you know, district officers who worked a district, and that was their district. They knew people in their district. People knew them, and there were relationships. We got, you know, for a host of reasons, we got away from that. Budget cuts, staffing, what used to be one district or three districts is now one. And I feel like, you know, we got to the point where we didn't know each other anymore. And I feel like in order for the community to trust us, they have to know us. So I'm looking at ways to really get people re-engaged back in the communities, back doing real, just district patrol, knowing the community, knowing the people.
I believe that wraps it up for our press conference today. Thank you to everybody who was here to stand by and support the chief, the new chief, in his new position. And I want to thank all the media that have been out there and sharing their questions. Thank you.